بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمسلمين والمسلمين. يقول الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب الخوف من الشرك، وقول الله عز وجل: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال الخليل عليه السلام: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. وفي الحديث: أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر، فسئل عنه فقال: الرياء. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من مات وهو يدعو لله ندا دخل النار. رواه البخاري. ولمسلم عن جابر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة، ومن لقيه يشرك به شيئا دخل النار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته ومن اهتدى بهديهم واتبع سنتهم إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، سمعنا هذا الباب الذي عقده شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله فيما يتعلق بأمر التوحيد والخوف من الشرك. الخليل أبو الأنبياء عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول في دعائه: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام، ربي إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: أخوف ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر، بينه بأنه الرياء. والشرك الأصغر ليس كالشرك الأكبر، الشرك الأكبر لا ينفع معه عمل، من مات وهو يشرك بالله غيره لم تنفعه أعمال يعملها، لكن الإنسان إذا تاب قبل أن يموت يقبل الله توبته. إذا كان يعبد مع الله غيره أو يعبد غير الله ولا يعبد الله، هذا إن مات على هذه الحالة فلا أمل له بمغفرة، لأن الله يقول جل وعلا: إن الله لا يغفر، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. يعني أن الذنوب كلها عرضة للمغفرة إذا لم يكن مع الإنسان شرك أكبر، لأن من أشرك بالله معه غيره ومات على ذلك فحرام عليه الجنة. يقول الله جل وعلا: إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. كل ذنب يرتكبه الإنسان من سرقة، من فواحش متنوعة، إذا مات على التوحيد على إفراد الله جل وعلا بالعبادة، لا يعبد أحدا غير الله، ولا بد أن يكفر بالشرك بالله. يعني لا يكفر واحد أن يعبد الله فقط ولا شيء عليه، لا بد أن يجتمع له مع الإيمان بالله الكفر بعبادة غير الله، وعدم محبة من يشرك بالله،
فيقول لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله أيا كانوا، نعم ولو كانوا آباءهم، إلى آخر الآية. والنبي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه لما سئل أي الذنوب أعظم، أي الذنوب أقبح وأسوأ، قال أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. عليك أن تفكر في عقلك، لا تقول أنا معذور. فكر هذا الند الذي يعبد من دون الله، هل خلق أحدا من الناس؟ هل خلق النبات؟ لهذا الله جل وعلا في القرآن الكريم خاطب الناس بعقولهم، ألهم قلوب لا يعقلون بها؟ فيما يتعلق بالرياء، الرياء هو مأخوذ من اللفظ، يعني كأنه يحسب حسابا لمن يرونه. الإنسان قد يدخل في عبادة، عند الدخول فيها لا يفكر بغير الله، وإذا به يشعر أن حوله من ينظر إليه فيعتني بالصلاة، يطيل القيام، يطيل الركوع، يطيل الوقوف بعد الركوع، يحرص على كمالها. هذه الزيادة التي فعلها لأجل مراعاة الآخرين لا تنفع، بل هي تضره، ربما لو تمادى على الأخذ بها أن تجره إلى التدرج من الرياء إلى أن يكون العمل لغير الله. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في حديث النيات: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. فينبغي للواحد في حياته أن يعتني بمحاسبة نفسه عن أن تزل، يحرص على تعاهدها، والنظر في ما تعمل به، وإذا شك في أمر من الرياء توجه إلى الله وسأله أن يجعل عمله خالصا لوجه الله جل وعلا، موافقا سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إبراهيم الخليل عليه السلام قال: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. بين أن ناسا كثيرين ضلوا، ربي إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس. الشيطان الذي أبى أن يسجد لآدم تعهد أن يضل بني آدم إلا من حفظهم الله جل وعلا، طلب ربه أن يبقيه حيا لا يموت إلى يوم القيامة، وأعطاه الله قال: فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين. فالإنسان يحرص على أن يسأل ربه أن يوفقه لإخلاص العمل. فيما يتعلق بالشرك الأفضل الأكبر، النبي يقول صلوات الله وسلامه عليه: من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. من مات وهو لا يشرك بالله، يعني مسلم، دخل الجنة. لكن إذا كانت له ذنوب وغلطات ولم يعفو الله عنها، ربما عاقبه عليها، لا لكن مآله الخروج من النار ودخول الجنة. ومن مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار. والآيات التي أشرت إليها تقضي بأنه يخلد في النار لا يخرج. حديث الله يقول يا ابن آدم لو لقيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لقيتك بقرابها ما. يعني أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد يعفو عن السيئات، قد تكثر الذنوب، لكن النية القلب وإخلاص ذلك لله والبراءة من الشرك قد تكون سببا في مغفرة الذنوب، كما في حديث أبي ذر رضي الله عنه. الشيطان حريص على أهل العبادة، يسعى لصدهم عن عبادة الله. إن كان عندهم ثبات على العبادة ولم يقدر على أن يزحزحهم إلى الشرك الأكبر، جعل يشككهم في عبادتهم وأنها رياء، ليكف عن بعض العمل، ليسلم لهم العمل لعله يسلم، فتثبيط الشيطان لابن آدم عن عمل ما هذا من نجاح الشيطان في عمله. ينبغي للمسلم إذا هم بالعمل الصالح أن يحرص على القيام به اغتناما للفرصة إذا سنحت، وخوفا من تجرؤ الشيطان عليه. الله جل وعلا أعطى عباده إذا هموا بعمل صالح إن عملوه واعطى العمل الكثرة، وإذا حصل أمر صد عن العمل فامتنع على الإنسان أن يعمل وبيده أن يعمل يكتب له من الأجر كأنه عمل. فهذا من فضل الله جل وعلا على عباده. ولهذا ينبغي للمسلم أن يكون شديد الحرص في أعماله على أن تكون خالصة لله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن يحرص على معرفة مدى موافقتها للسنة، لأن أي عمل يبتغى به وجه الله لا ينفع إلا إذا اجتمع فيه أمران. يجتمع فيه أمرا أن يكون خالصا لله، وأن يكون موافقا لسنة رسول الله لما شرع، لأن العمل الذي لا يكون موافقا لما شرعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينفع. فإن النبي يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الصحيح: من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد، يعني مردود عليه لا ينفع. ولهذا ينبغي للإنسان أن يحرص على أن يعرف هذا العمل الذي يقوم به هل هو موافق لما دعا إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعمله. إذا كان هذا حاصلا فليحرص على صيانة ذلك العمل لئلا يدخل فيه قصد لغير الله. إن الإنسان إذا عمل العمل لأجل أهل الدنيا لا يستفيد شيئا أبدا منه، فيقال يوم القيامة اذهبوا إلى من كنتم تراؤونه فاطلبوا منهم الأجر، كما في حديث أول من تسعر بهم النار ثلاثة. صاحب مال يبذل ويتصدق ويفعل الآخرة، ومجاهد في سبيل الله مقدام شجاع، قارئ القرآن أو عالم إن شاء الله، لكن صاحب المال ما كان يبذل المال لوجه الله، وإنما يبذله ليكون له ذكر وصيت أنه بذال للأموال. والشجاع المقاتل إنما كان يقاتل حمية نصرة لقومه، ما فكر في الآخرة أو ليظهر أثره وشجاعته حتى يتحدث الناس عنه أنه مقدام شجاع فاتك. والقارئ أو العالم إنما أراد أن يباهي بقراءته وفشل أدائه، أو أراد أن يباهي الناس بمنزلته ومعرفته إلى آخره، ما قصد بذلك وجه الله. هؤلاء الثلاثة كما في الحديث الصحيح هم أول من تسعر بهم النار، ولهذا ينبغي للواحد أن يحرص على تفقد آثار إرادة قلبه، إذا وجد أي خلل يبادر بالتوبة والاستغفار وسؤال الله جل وعلا أن يثبته. والله جل وعلا هو الهادي، فإن الله يقول إنك لا تهدي من أحببت. أحمل البشرية في الدعوة للهداية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقال الله له إنك لا تهدي من أحببت. الله هو الهادي سبحانه وتعالى. إذن الإنسان يحرص على أن يلح على ربه جل وعلا بطلب الهداية، فربنا جل وعلا تفضل علينا بمنن كثيرة، ومنها ما ألزمنا به من طلب الهداية، فلا يصلي مصلي إلا ويقول في صلاته اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. فالصراط المستقيم هو الطريق إلى الله الذي لا عوجاج فيه، فينبغي للمسلم أن يكون حريصا على التثقف في دينه، وأن يتفقد نفسه، فإن للنفس جموحا ورغبات ومقاصد يستهويها الشيطان، فيحتاج الواحد كلما رأى فيها ميل لأمر من الأمور نظر هل هو ميل إلى ما يرضي الله، إن كان الأمر كذلك فرح به وحمد الله على التوفيق، وإن كان غير ذلك بادر بالتوبة والاعتذار من الله جل وعلا. فأسأل الله بأسمائه وصفاته أن نجعلنا جميعا من أوليائه الصالحين الذين يخافونه في السر والعلن، وأن يجيرنا من الإعجاب بأنفسنا وأعمالنا، وأن يمنحنا بمنه وكرمه صدق الإقبال عليه والرغبة فيما عنده، والخوف أيضا مما أعده من عذاب، إنه سبحانه مجيب الدعاء. فنسأله أن يحسن عاقبتنا وخاتمتنا، ويصلحنا ويصلح ذرياتنا، ويحفظ علينا أمننا على ديننا ودنيانا، إنه مجيب الدعاء.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى explained the next chapter in the book Kitab al-Tawheed, which is the chapter of fear of shirk, fear of polytheism. And he mentioned by praising Allah Azza wa Jal and sending salams upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members, companions, and those who follow them in goodness. Then he mentioned that this chapter is likewise in the affair of Tawheed, and how an individual should fear falling into shirk. And in this chapter, the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Khalil is mentioned, and he is the father of the prophets. And in that supplication, he supplicates to Allah to protect him, to save him and his offspring from falling into shirk. He mentions that the shaitan has guided many people astray, showing you the tremendous fear that a person should have of falling into shirk. And likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned that which I fear the most for my ummah is the minor form of shirk, which is riya, showing off, doing things out of ostentation. And the shirk mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that minor shirk is different from major shirk. There is a difference between minor shirk and major shirk. Major shirk, if a person performs it and they do other actions, there will be no benefit for their other actions. There is absolutely no benefit for their other actions of worship if the person performs major shirk and dies upon it. There's no benefit for the actions of worship that a person does if they perform major shirk and they die upon major shirk. But if the person repents and turns to Allah and seek His forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance of the repenter. But the person worships Allah, and along with his worship of Allah, he worships other than Allah, then this is the major shirk. And likewise, if the person doesn't worship Allah, but instead he worships other than Allah, then this is also the major shirk. And if the person dies upon these sorts of deeds, there is no hope for him to enter into paradise. There is no hope for mercy. And this is based on the statement of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him, and he forgives other than that to whom he wills. But the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that the sins, it's possible that the sins of an individual will be forgiven. The sins other than major shirk. All other sins that a person commits, it's possible that they would be forgiven, except the major shirk, if a person dies upon it. And this is also based on the statement of Allah Ta'ala, where Allah Ta'ala says, verily whoever commits shirk, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ. Verily whoever commits shirk with Allah, Allah has made paradise forbidden for him, and his abode would be the hellfire. So we understand that any sin that a person falls into, stealing, or indecent types of sins, major indecent types of sins, but the person has abstained from major shirk, then Allah Azza wa Jal would forgive the individual. But what's also important to mention is that it is not only important that a person singles out Allah alone for worship. It is not only important that a person singles out Allah alone for worship. But what is likewise important is that a person disbelieves and abandons shirk. So it's not merely that the individual only singles out Allah alone for worship and he performs monotheism, but along with the monotheism, he has to abandon all forms of shirk, and he has to disbelieve in shirk. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, likewise, along with abandoning shirk, also abandoning the people of shirk, and not loving the people of shirk. It's not permissible for the believer to love individuals who are involved and who commit shirk with Allah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that you do not find a person who believes in Allah and the last day, befriending, taking as close companions, those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Even if they're fathers, a person cannot love a person who commits shirk. Also moving on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what is the most major form, or what is the most, what is the largest sin? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to associate partners with Allah and Allah created you. To associate partners with Allah and Allah created you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is challenging, or he's speaking to you upon, based on your intellect. And he, would you associate something with Allah knowing that that individual or that thing did not create you? Indeed, it is Allah who created you. Is there anyone, and is that thing which you're associating with Allah, did it create anyone? Did it create any person? Did it create anything? Did it create any type of plants or anything of the likes? No. It is only Allah who created you. So the Shaykh mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does speak to the individual. He does speak to the individual in the Quran. And He does, address their intellect. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do they not have hearts? Do they not have hearts that they can think with? Do they not have hearts that they can reflect with? Then the Shaykh moved on, Habibullah ta'ala, by mentioning al-riyah, which is doing things out of pride, doing things ostentation, doing things to show off. He said the word riya is actually taken from, or the meaning of riya is actually taken from the literal word. And that is that a person does something so that others can see him. It's possible that an individual enters into worship. He begins a form of worship. And he's not thinking about other than Allah. He's focusing on completing this worship for Allah. Then he notices that individuals are around him. Individuals are in his company. So he begins to beautify the action. He begins to elongate his prayer. He begins to elongate his ruku' and standing after the ruku'. He begins to perfect the action because of what he sees, because of him noticing people looking at him. This is riya. This is pride and showing off. The Shaykh mentioned that riya, once riya enters into an action, it destroys the action. And it's possible that riya, if it continues and the person is not able to control it and able to stop it, it's possible that it would come from the riya and it would turn the action into shirk. Meaning the person begins to do the action solely for the people and not for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Verily, actions are based on intentions. So whoever does an action, whoever migrates for Allah, his migration is for Allah and His Messenger. And whoever migrates for something, for a worldly matter, or to marry a female, then his migration is that which he migrated for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing focus to the affair of the intention, so that the intention doesn't become distorted. Because of that, the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, that it's incumbent that an individual in his life, that he always brings himself to account. That a person should always bring himself to account. And he should always look at his actions. And if he begins to doubt whether he's doing the action sincerely for Allah or for the people, then he should repent to Allah. And he should ask Allah to make the action sincerely for him. And likewise, he should ask Allah to make the action in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh went back, Hafidhullah ta'ala, and began to explain the dua of Ibrahim, where Ibrahim supplicated to Allah to protect him and his offspring from shirk. And it's mentioned in the verse itself that many people, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ, O my Lord, they have led many people astray, meaning the idols, the asnam. The idols have led many people astray. So this shows you the seriousness of this affair of shirk. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, the shaitan, the individual who denied prostration to Adam, he has promised that he would lead the children of Adam astray, except those who Allah protects. Except those who Allah protects. And Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed him to remain alive, allowed him to remain around until the Day of Judgment. And he swore, وَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَعُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادِكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Well, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that the shaitan said, I swear by your might, I'm going to guide all of them astray, except your sincere worshippers. Except your sincere worshippers. Which shows you the extent of his hatred for mankind. His hatred for the children of Adam. He swore by the might of Allah that he's going to try to guide everyone astray. So then the Shaykh went on to say, so this is major shirk. And like we mentioned, that major shirk is that if a person dies upon it, they will not be forgiven. They will never enter into the paradise. But if a person dies upon sin, but they die upon tawheed, they will eventually enter into the paradise. There's no doubt that individuals have major sins, individuals have wrongdoings and the likes of that. But as long as the individual does not fall into major shirk, they will eventually be forgiven. And they are promised that they will eventually come out of the hellfire. Unlike the individual who dies upon major shirk. And the verses in the Quran, the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the verses in the Quran that speak about major shirk inform you that the person will never escape from the hellfire. The person will never exit the hellfire. The person that dies upon the major shirk. And this is also mentioned in the hadith to show you the great forgiveness of Allah for the person that dies upon other than major shirk. In the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jalla says, oh the son of Adam, Yabn Adam, if you come to me with the sides of the earth in sin, and then you come to me without committing partners with me, I will likewise come to you with the size of the earth in forgiveness. I would likewise approach you with the size of the earth in forgiveness. So this shows you, the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, this shows you that Allah Ta'ala can forgive all sins. Allah Azza wa Jal can forgive all sins as long as the individual has performed his actions sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that the shaitan is very diligent in leading you astray. And if the shaitan cannot get you, if he cannot, you know, lead you astray in falling into shirk and the likes of that, what does he try to do? He tries to get you to stop doing actions of piety. He tries to get you to stop doing actions of piety. No, he cannot, yani, at times he cannot lead you astray by falling into shirk. So what does he try to do? He tries to lead you to, or he tries to encourage you to abandon actions of worship by saying, you know you're doing this out of pride. So you're doing an action of worship. You're doing something to get you closer to Allah. The shaitan, he can't get you to fall into shirk. So what does he do? He tries to whisper to you that you're doing this out of pride. So by doing so, you stop doing the action. By doing so, you stop doing the action. And the Shaykh mentioned, if the shaitan is able to encourage you to stop doing an action of worship, then he has succeeded. Then he has succeeded. So therefore, it's incumbent that an individual is very diligent in not only doing the action sincerely for Allah,
But likewise, he's diligent in trying to make sure that he continues to do so, and he continues to do the action. He does not submit to the whispers of the shaitan. And the shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, that if a person is able to do the actions and he's able to be consistent in the actions, there's no doubt this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. But if the person becomes weak and the likes and the shaitan whispers to them, you're doing it for the people, the person should be diligent in turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. They should turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask Allah to make the action sincerely for him. And there's no doubt that this is from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the shaykh mentioned that there are two things. The person should try to be diligent in continuing to do the action sincerely for Allah. And second, the person should try to be diligent in making sure that they do the action in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there are two conditions that must be fulfilled in order for the action to be accepted. The first is that the action has to be done sincerely for Allah. And the second is that the action has to be done in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of that, or the proof for that, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa rad." Whoever does an action which is not in accordance to the sunnah, then it is rejected. It is rejected. It is not accepted by Allah, and it does not benefit the individual. So a person has to be very, very diligent in their performance of the actions. Then the shaykh mentioned, to show you the importance of doing the action sincerely for Allah, is that if a person does an action and it is not done sincerely for Allah, meaning it has some blemish of pride, ostentation, doing it for other than Allah, then the person won't benefit from this action. The person will not benefit from this action. And on the Day of Judgment, to show you the seriousness of pride and riya, on the Day of Judgment, It would be said to the people that do actions for others, go to those people whom you did your actions for and see, can you find your reward for them? See, can you find your reward from them? So Allah does not reward the person that does an action which is not done sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And another proof for that is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the first three people who would be thrown into the hellfire. The first three people who would be thrown into the hellfire. The first, the person who had a lot of wealth. The second, a person who fought and died in the way of Allah. And the third is a reciter of the Quran or a scholar. The first person who had a lot of wealth, he used to give his wealth. He used to spend his wealth. But he did not do so for Allah. He did so that the people can praise him. He did so that the people can praise him. His abode would be the hellfire. The second person, the person who fought in the way of Allah. But the reality is, he did not fight in the way of Allah. He did so that he can be praised by his people. He did so that he can be called someone who is brave. His abode would be the hellfire. And the third individual, Qari al-Quran, the person who recited the Quran, or a scholar. He did not do so sincerely for Allah, but he did so that people can praise him. And he did so that he can debate with the people. His abode would be the hellfire. The shaykh mentioned, based on those several proofs, it's incumbent that a Muslim is very aware of his actions. When he does an action, he should do it sincerely for Allah. And if he notices that there's something of riya which is blemishing the action, that he should immediately make tawbah and turn to Allah and ask his forgiveness. For verily, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who guides. Allah is the one who guides. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the best of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily you cannot guide whom you will, but Allah guides whom he wills. So we understand it's important that the individual turns to Allah and seeks the success from Allah and seeks the guidance from Allah. Then the shaykh mentioned, to show you this, to prove this, is that which we say in salat. When we pray, we say, "Ihdina siratul mustaqim." We say, "Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path." the path of sincerity, the path of doing actions in accordance to the sunnah. This is the path of Allah. This is the correct path. This is the straight path. This is the path that has no crookedness in it. So therefore it's incumbent, it's obligatory, mandatory, that the individual is very cautious when he does his deeds to protect them. When he does his actions of worship, he wants to protect them. He wants to make sure he does not do it. He wants to make sure he does it sincerely for Allah, and that there's no hands, that the shaitan has no hands in the deeds of the individuals. And if he finds that he possibly doing something for people and for a worldly gain, that he immediately turns to Allah. And the shaykh mentioned, he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the shaykh closed by supplicating to Allah, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from his awliya, and he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those who fear shirk and do actions sincerely for him. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from those individuals who abstain from any type of pride or riya in our deeds. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from those individuals who have a sincere return to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and sincere actions done sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to make us from amongst those who fear shirk and falling into shirk. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from those who are protected from the shaitan. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from those who have a good ending, and to protect us from the hellfire and our children from the hellfire.
سائل يقول حفظك الله تعالى إذا تكلم فرعون بكلمة الشهادة قبل الموت فلماذا يدخل النار؟
فرعون إنما تكلم كما قال الله فلما أدركه الغرق. فرعون أو غيره إذا تاب إذا بلغت الروح الحلقوم لا تنفعه التوبة. كل إنسان عند ما يكون في النزع لو يتأتى له أن يتوب تاب، إنه إذا صار فيه على حافة خروج الروح يتبين له إلى أين يتجه. ولذلك الجنازة التي تحمل وهي من أهل النار تتكلم لك، لا يسمعها الإنس ولا الجن، وإنما يقترب تقول هذه الجنازة يا ويلها أين تذهبون بها.
The question was, if the Fir'aun said the Shahada before he died, why is he still going to the hellfire? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Fir'aun said the Shahada once death had reached him. Once death had reached him, once it was time for his soul to leave his body. And that means he said it at a time that it does not benefit. He said it at a time that it was too late, and at a time that it does not benefit. The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, when the soul is leaving the body, at that time everyone wants to repent. At that time everyone wants to repent, because it's clear, the affair has become clear to the individual. And because of that, it is mentioned that when the janazah of the disbeliever, when the janazah of the disbeliever is being carried, that it speaks, or something is spoken, and everyone except the jinn and the mankind can hear. The animals and the likes of that, they can hear. And it is said that, woe be to this individual, indeed where are they going? Or woe be to this individual for the place that they are going. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala in summary, that the Fir'aun, the reason why it does not benefit him, because he said it at a time that it no longer benefits. قل السائل ماذا يركز عليه ولي الأمر في تعليم أطفاله التوحيد والسنة والقرآن والحديث ونحو ذلك.
الطفل الصغير يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مولود إلا ويولد على الفطرة. ما هي هذه الفطرة؟ الفطرة هي توحيد الله، يولد وهو يعني مهيأ سلوك الخير، طريق الخير أو طريق الشر. يقول النبي فأبواه يهودان أو يمجسان أو ينصران، إذن الأبوان الأب والأم عليهما مسؤولية عظيمة في هداية الناشئة، لأنهم يكونان سبب خير أو سبب شر. سبب خير أن أرغبه على مقتضى الفطرة، فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها، وإن غفل عنه أو دعياه إلى الكفر بعمله، لو ما قال اكفر بالله، تنشئ الناشئ الصغير على وفق ما كان عليه أبواه الأب والأم أو من يقوم مقامهما إذا كان مفقودين. لهذا بر الأبناء وصلاحهم أو فسادهم وعقوقهم على الوالدين قسط كبير من أمرهم، من الأمر هذا، إذا كان يرغبان الولد ذكرا أو أنثى في طاعة الله كان سبب خير له ولهم، وإذا كان يرغبانه بالقول أو بالفعل بالقدوة بالشر كان سبب الذي ذكر يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه. المجوس يعني تشمل الوثنية كلها، يعني كل من يعبد غير الله فهو بعبادته هذه كحال المجوس. وفي الأدلة السماوية إما أن يكون يهودي أو نصراني، لا ديانة سماوية على وجه الأرض إلا باتباع الديانتين أو بديانة الإسلام التي يرضاها الله، لأن أي دينا قبل التوراة أو بعد بعثة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما هو الإسلام، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. الناشئ لا بد أن يعتني أهله به، ومع ذلك ينبغي أن يوقنوا أن الهادي هو الله. نوح لما قال لابنه يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن إلى آخره مع الكافرين، قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء، ثم ما عصمه الجبل. من سبق في علم الله أنه لا يهتدي فهذا مهما كانت الدعاية ما تنفع، لكن مع ذلك الدعاية سبب من الإسلام.
The question was about parents and teaching their children Tawheed and Quran and Sunnah and the likes of that. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, a small child, as is mentioned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's no child who is born except that he is born on the fitrah. The fitrah of Allah Azza wa Jal is Tawheed, meaning the individual is born and he is born in a state where he can accept the good or the evil. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, but his parents, they turn him into a Jew or a Christian or a Majus. And the Shaykh mentioned, therefore, we understand that the father and the mother, they have a major, tremendous responsibility toward their children. And it's upon them to guide their children to that which is correct. And they should encourage them and they should teach them. They should encourage them and teach them to stay upon the fitrah of Allah, that which Allah created them. And if the parents are negligent of this responsibility, or if the parents call their children to disobedience and disbelief, this can be done by statements or actions. You don't necessarily have to teach them by statements to disbelief, you can teach them in your actions. And this would be a means for them to go astray. Because the child basically is reared according to the actions and the teachings of the parents.
So therefore it's extremely important for the parents, the father and the mother, to understand this responsibility. The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that your upbringing of your children, whether your children are going to be righteous and pious and upright, or whether your children are going to be the opposite, and they're going to be bad children and disrespectful and likes of this, the parents have a major role to play in the piety, the uprightness, or the opposite of their children. The parents have a major role to play in that. So if the parents encourage their children to be righteous, then inshallah the children, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this would be seen in the children. But this should be done, like the Shaykh said, this should be done in statements and actions, not just statements. No, this should be done in statements and actions. The children follow you in your actions and in your statements. And he mentioned the part of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the Majus. And then later on he mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, that Islam is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is the only religion that Allah would accept. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily the religion with Allah is Islam. So it's extremely important that the parents focus on their children and teaching their children. But with that being the case, the parents should also have certainty that Allah is the one who guides. The parents do that which they can do. They're very diligent. They're very, they try their best to do that which they can do. But at the same time, the parents should also keep in mind that Allah is the one who guides. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh said to his son, Irkab ma'ana. He said to his son, join us. When he was in the water and Nuh was on the ark and the likes of that, he said to his son, join us. And his son said, I'm going to swim to the mountain. And verily the mountain did not save him. So he was from amongst those who drowned. So the parents should keep in mind that if Allah Azza wa Jal has written for it that an individual would not be guided, that individual would not be guided, but at the same time the parent does their best to try to ensure that their children are guided. يقول السائل ما حكم من يرفع يديه للدعاء بعد انتهاء الدرس أو المحاضرة والحاضرون يرفعون أيديهم؟
الدعاء مشروع جائز بعد كل عمل، ورفع اليدين من أسباب إجابة الدعاء. في الحديث إن الله لا يستحي من عبده يرفع يديه يقول يا رب يا رب فيردهما خاليتين. فالدعاء من الأعمال الصالحة إذا لم يكن فيه ظلم ولا قطيعة رحمة.
The question was, what is the ruling on an individual raising his hands with supplication at the end of a lesson, and those who are present also raise their hands? The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that supplication is legislated. That supplication is legislated and it is allowed after each action of worship that a person does, supplication is allowed. And the raising of the hands are from the means that allow the supplication to be accepted. Raising of the hands are from the means that allow the supplication to be accepted. This has been mentioned in the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah is shy that his servant raises his hands and supplicates that Allah returns the hands empty. That Allah returns the hands empty. So the supplication is legislated, and it is from the righteous actions as long as there is no oppression or supplicating with cutting off of family ties. قول السائل ما موقف الإسلام من استخدام التلفاز لتعليم الأطفال؟
التلفاز آلة يمكن أن يستعمل في الخير ومشاهدة الناس عبادات ومشاهدة الحرمين مما يكون مشوقا زيارة المسجدين المسجد الحرام والمسجد النبوي، قد يكون فيما يعرض التلفاز من القائمين في العبادات ما يكون حافزا للمشاهد أن يحرص على مشابهتهم، إن كان التلفاز يدعو إلى شر إلى فساد عقيدة أو إلى فساد أخلاق ودعارة ومجون كان الداعية شر وسبب شر. أما إذا كانت الآلة لا تصلح إلا للشر فإنها تكون محرمة، أما إذا كانت تصلح أن تستعمل هكذا وهكذا فإن العبرة بما يقوم به الإنسان المكلف، هل يستعملها فيما يرضي الله فيحصل على الثواب أو يستعملها فيما يسخط الله فيكون معرضا للعقاب.
The question was pertaining to using the television to educate your children. The Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that the television is an instrument. The television is an instrument and a tool that can be used in good. For example, observing the individuals. You know, you have the station that they have the camera in the Haram in Mecca or in the Haram in Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi. So it's possible that a person can look at people who are performing worship, and this creates within him the desire to visit the Haram in Mecca or the Haram in Medina. And likewise, if a person is noticing, you know, the people who are praying in both masjids, it might create in him the desire to be similar to them and to constantly pray. And likewise, he mentioned that the television can also be used for evil. Television can also be used for great evil. Evil and pollution in beliefs, evil and pollution in character, indecent deeds and the likes of that. So there's no doubt. He mentioned that if a tool can only be used for evil, then it is totally forbidden. Any tool which can only be used for evil, it is totally forbidden. But if the tool can be used for evil and it can be used for good, then the ruling is based on what the individual uses it for. If the individual uses it for that which pleases Allah, then the person will be rewarded. But if the individual uses it for that which displeases Allah, then the person would be punished.
سؤالنا بنختم الجلسة بدعاء إن شاء الله تعالى. المهم لا من بدأ نسأل الله جل وعلا: اللهم يا حي يا قيوم، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا إله العالمين، يا خالق الخلق أجمعين، يا مالك الملك، نسألك بأسمائك وصفاتك أن ترحم ضعفنا وتجبر كسرنا وتغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتجيرنا من مضلات الفتن يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الكفر والكافرين واستعملنا في طاعتك وجنبنا أسباب سخطك وأصلحنا وأصلح ذرياتنا واغفر لنا ولأمواتنا وأحيائنا وسددنا في الأمور كلها. اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك وصفاتك أن ترفع عن المسلمين كل ضائقة وتزيل عنهم كل بلية ومحنة وتكشف عنهم عاجل غير عاجل كل طامة وغامة. اللهم فرج كرب المكروبين، اللهم فرج كربهم في البحرين واليمن وليبيا وفي أي بلد ممتحرة بشر وبلاء يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اسمعنا عن ليبيا ما يكشف عنه هذه الأمة ويقضي على هذا الطاغية الذي تجرى على سفك الدماء وكان منكرا لسنة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أرنا فيه عجائب قدرتك ووفق المسلمين في كل مكان للأخذ بأسباب مرضاتك وإخلاص العبادة لك. اللهم لا تجعل المسلمين يرجعون إلى أعدائهم في كشف ضائقتهم ووفقهم لحسن الالتجاء إليك. اللهم يا مفرج الكربات ويا مقيل العثرات ويا غافر الزلات يا شافي المرضى يا مجيب الدعاء نسألك يا إلهنا ومولانا أن تعاملنا بعفوك وتجيرنا من كل من شر أنفسنا وشر أعدائنا وأن ترينا في الدول الكافرة الماكرة الفاجرة عجائب قدرتك إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ارحم ضعف المستضعفين وأصلح بلادنا وبلاد المسلمين واحفظ علينا أمننا على ديننا ودنيانا ووفق ولاة أمر هذه البلاد بأن تستمر ملجأ لمن أراد الاحتماء بحمى عقيدة التوحيد والفرار من الشرك والظلم والطغيان وكافئ ولاة الأمر وأهل هذه البلاد بالتوفيق والسداد في حياتهم كلها وأن يكونوا عونا لإخوانهم المسلمين في كل مكان. إنك مجيب الدعاء وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إنه سبحانه وتعالى مجيب الدعاء وصلى الله على نبينا محمد.
صلى الله عليه رب العالمين فيكم وترجم الدعاء ترجم الدعاء. طيب forgive me in the translation of the dua because I couldn't get every sentence, but the Sheikh made a long dua by calling on Allah Azza wa Jal using his names and attributes and asking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to protect and to have mercy upon the Muslims who are weak and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us for our sins and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from the trials and tribulations of this life and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to bring strength to Islam and to bring strength to the Muslims and asking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to allow us to or to give us the success to be obedient to Him and ask Allah Azza wa Jal, and He also asks Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to forgive the deceased from amongst the Muslims and also he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal to remove the calamities and the tribulations that are befalling the Muslims and to show us this success and victory soon. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the difficulties and trials of our brothers in Bahrain and the difficulties and trials of our brothers in Yemen and the difficulties and trials of our brothers in Libya and in every Muslim country. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically to protect our brothers and to remove from them the harms and calamities of our brothers in Libya and bring an end to this individual who has spilled the blood of the Muslims and who has openly denied the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger, disbelieved in the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal to show us the miracles of his decree by removing this individual. And then he supplicated, asking Allah to give us the success to act upon that which pleases him. And he supplicated to Allah to give the Muslims success not to seek assistance from the disbelievers and in removing their tribulations. And he asked Allah to give us ease. And he also asked Allah to bring cure to our sick. And he also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to overlook or to pardon our faults. And he also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this specific country to give the leaders success and to guide them to that which is good and to bless them. and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to give them success to make this a land of the sunnah and the spread of the aqeedah. And he said, and our last supplication is all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Zakhir, barakallahu fiqh.